Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. I hope you're well. My name is Matt. I am the host of the show. We chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And this week is no exception. This episode is with the fantastic Jesse of the band Dream State. I sat down with Jesse a couple of nights ago, as you will hear this, to chat all about Dream State. It was an absolutely fantastic chat. I want to do a couple of thank yous. I want to do a thank you to her personally for just basically reaching out on social media and saying, I love the show. I love your positivity about the band. Let's do this podcast. Let's get locked in. So thank you for that. Also, I want to do a shout out to her PR person, or their PR person, shall I say, Holly over at Good As Gold, for trying to sort this out for the longest time. We finally got around to doing it, and this is the conversation, the podcast you guys are listening to. So thank you to both of those people. And yeah, I want to say thank you to you guys for listening. The support the last few shows have had has been absolutely incredible. So thank you for that. It wasn't really meant to be that way. We've released the Fangs Out episode, the Graphic Nature episode, the Enslaved episode, Downfall of Gaha, the Delane episode, the Pendulum episode. That wasn't meant to go like that. Basically, the way the podcast works is I send out a lot of emails to a lot of PR people and a lot of bands and say, do you want to come on? And like most of the time, a few of them get back to me and say, yeah, we'll do it, or no, it's not for us, or whatever. And that's completely fine. Basically, all of them said yes. That's what happened. And then it's then my job to then schedule them to go out. And basically, because the stuff we talk about in the podcast is time sensitive, we just needed to get the podcast out. So for you guys, you've had an absolute wealth of content. This will probably, hopefully, I say hopefully, be the last podcast you listen to that is kind of in this bunch. And then we'll go back to the regular format of like two a week or one a week, depending on the band availability and stuff. But we get into everything Dream State in this conversation. We get really honest and really open in this conversation as well. So that's always nice and refreshing. But I really hope you enjoy it. Thank you so much for the love and support. If you want to financially support the show, you can over at patreon.com/nevermindpolypodcast. If you can't or don't want to do that, just tell a friend. Give us a 5-star rating on your favorite podcasting platform. Subscribe to us on YouTube. All of those things are free to do and helps the podcast more than you know. Anyway, I'm going to stop waffling and let you guys listen to my conversation with Jesse of Dream State on the Nevermind Polly podcast. Enjoy. Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And it is my absolute pleasure to say that we have got Jesse of Dream State on the show this week. How are we doing? How's things?
Hi, how are you doing? Yeah, I'm really well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I've had a podcast cancel on me today, but that's a different story. People are busy, it's cool, it's no drama, but we're here now, and that's all that matters. And I want to just, before we start, I want to say a massive thank you to you personally, but also to your PR people, because the lovely Holly's been trying to set this up for a minute and we keep missing each other or whatever else. And it was a totally organic Facebook thing. We just sort of liking each other's stuff. And you're like, should we just do the podcast? I was like, yes, I've been trying to do this for a minute. So.
I appreciate all the, you've been really positive and really kind on most of my social media. So I was, I just thought, let's just get it locked in.
Absolutely. And that's kind of a good place to start, I guess, is the fact you are just fresh off a headline run with Dream State. How was the tour? How did it go? How was things?
Yeah, no, tour was honestly, being the new girl, as the first tour went, I have to say it was more than I could have ever dreamed of, excuse the pun, but it was phenomenal. I think 5 out of 7 shows sold out and the other two were very, very close behind it. And like I say, it could have been the complete opposite. People could have decided not to come based on it being me or whatever. And the fans, honestly, I can't thank them enough. They've just made me feel really, really welcome. And it definitely feels good to be back up there.
Yeah, absolutely. And rightly so as well, because as I say, I've put in my notes here that lineup changes / life happens, because it does. you know, and I don't want to, obviously, the previous members of the band done a fantastic job with the debut and things, and have kind of built a really positive, inclusive fan base. But yeah, things happen, life happens. And obviously you're now in the band as the front woman, and big shoes to fill, but I feel like you've done an outstanding job with the EP and things. But yeah, it's really good to see the reaction has been so positive, because, you know, it could have been the other, if you see what I mean.
No, definitely. I think those songs are, you know, they're whilst I'm really grateful, Alid, the OG, he mm-hmm. he did obviously all the music for that EP in terms of instruments, and it was very much sort of my lyrics and my melodies. So to have them as well received that they have been, considering I've been out the scene and for 10 years, it's definitely solidified to me that I'm back where I should be, writing and playing music again.
Absolutely. And that's my kind of what leads me onto my first and second question, really, is where does your passion of music first discovered? What was your first kind of falling in love with music? Talk me through that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on stage since I was a little girl. I've been raised very much by my grandparents in terms of spending time with them. And my grandfather was very much into like country western and Pavarotti. So I'm classically trained in opera. But I also love country western quite a lot. And I grew up in a very musical, like sort of encouraged family, been in stage school since I can remember. I'm not a massive academic, but when I was little, you put me on a stage and it was sort of where I thrived. So yeah, for me, really, it was down to having really supportive family, like my grandparents. They really pushed me to audition for things, and I sang in the churches and the cathedrals back home. I love opera. Like I'd love to like front one day, like a Nightwish 2.0, you know, that kind of vibe. Opera, like opera metal, is like a dream of mine one day. But no, yeah, it really does come from being quite young. I think I used to sing in the church, and they realized quite quickly I could sing in tune. And really, the rest of it's gone from there, really.
Absolutely. And I love that. So my next question, should I say, is, do you remember the first CD or vinyl or tape, whatever it may be, that you purchased with your own money?
Yeah, the first like tape or whatever I actually bought, one of them was like a Linkin Park type. Mm-hmm. I was like in my early teens, and I bought Linkin Park stuff. But the first tape I actually went out and bought in the shop was Ricky Martin, She Bangs. And
The thing was, I knew it was going to be good, because you started to laugh, and you're like, oh God, I'm going to lose all my credibility.
I just have like really positive flashbacks of my mum like driving us to school with the windows down and the whole car like just singing that at the top of our lungs. And I would do the one bit and my sister would do the other. And like, yeah, it's just good memories, that song. And Ricky Martin is a legend. I have no shame that that's my first tape I actually went out for. Yeah.
Absolutely. I was going to say, and Live a Vida Loca, obviously made famous by Shrek, which is arguably one of the best films ever made. People go on about the Shawshank Redemption and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, nah, Shrek 2 is where it's at. Like,
Alid would love this conversation. He's a massive Shrek fan, so yeah.
Brilliant stuff. So I wanted to kind of talk and touch upon the fact that these are, as you say, your songs, are your lyrics, are your melodies and things. How do you feel? Do you feel differently singing these songs in comparison to singing the older material?
Well, yeah, yes, because I do, just based on them being my own. But actually, when I got approached to do this, to be the lead of this band, it was White Lies that I heard, and In This Hell, and my God, they really couldn't have picked a better replacement. Like when I sing this In This Hell live, sometimes the boys say, Jesse, you know, sometimes you start that note and you're like, if you closed your eyes, you think it would be Charlotte. Mm-hmm. We've obviously got very similar vocal style. I'm a little bit more brutal in my heavier side, but like you say, huge boots to fill. And I actually truly feel honored to have the privilege to sing some of these absolute bangers. So that question's really good, because whilst I obviously have been really overwhelmed watching people sing back to like Taunt Me, like screaming it like it's one of the original songs. To start off like one of the OG songs like Hand in Hand or Open Windows and have the room just like light up, I know I wouldn't have the response and the energy that I've been getting if it wasn't for some of those absolute, you know, sound-defying songs of the band. And I just can't stress enough how lucky I feel to just be given the opportunity to sing them. They're amazing songs, and I do connect with a lot of Charlotte's writing, weirdly. So when I was asked to audition and I was listening through, it was actually my husband who said, like, God, you really couldn't have gone in for a band that was more suited to you, both vocally and sort of meaning of the songs, really.
Absolutely. And that's the thing as well, that so for me personally, I love everything the Dream State have put out, but the fact is you said it yourself, you got more of a heavier, gruffer end to your vocals, which I think is fantastic. And especially I've seen them with before you joined the band, and I've not seen you since you obviously joined, but I'm dying to see those older songs performed by yourself, because it's just me like, oh shit, that stuff really goes hard live anyway, let alone, do you know what I mean, with that added extra flair, so to speak.
Well, the feedback, actually, like, to be honest, a lot of the fans, like I say, the really dedicated, loyal fans that I'm so grateful for, that have really, I'd say 80% of them have just from day one just welcomed me. Mm. And even now, it's been, do you know what's been amazing, actually, is that some of the naysayers might have actually wrote to me personally or publicly and been like, you know what, I was not happy with the change of singer, but after seeing her live, she brings her own sort of vibe to these original songs. And the people, I've almost turned people, like people that may have been on the fence, have actually like turned around and been like, you know what, got to give this girl some credit. Like, I've read some of the comments after tour, and I got quite overwhelmed, because like I say, they're brilliant songs to have. So to have people even tell me that, like, I'm doing them justice, or in some words, like, bring my own oomph to them. I kind of try and make them my own, but keep them like how they were. Mm-hmm. Just feel very, very lucky, Matt. I feel a little bit overwhelmed, if I'm honest. This whole thing, I joined this band thinking, I knew it was a big platform, but I just didn't expect us to, like, I feel like it's all spiraling really, really quickly, and it's very exciting.
That's the thing as well. There is a lot of, you know, I'm in a privileged position being this podcaster and doing this thing and speaking to people like yourself. There's a lot of people who I'd consider kind of like acquaintances / friend like yourself in the music industry, who are absolutely fucking killing it at the minute. And I have a burning pride for a lot of you guys, and especially, and I don't want to bring gender into it, but a lot of the women as well. There's a lot of fantastic, shout out to like Harriet, Ithaca, Svalbard, you know,
as everything unfolds, exactly. December falls, like, do you know what's been really nice, talking about women quickly, so many girls in the scene, like Charlie and the As December Falls singer, my mind's just gone blank on the podcast here, but basically all I'm trying to say is I feel really blessed that these girls, when I did my like announcement post, I had like people that to me are like famous, you know, doing big things, messaging me being like, welcome, you know, or just sending me a message and being like, hey, congrats on the gig, your song Taunt Me is amazing, hope we get to cross paths. And honestly, like, yeah, what a lovely environment to be in. And when I was doing this 10 years ago, I was always playing shows with usually the only girl on a lineup. If I was playing a festival, it'd maybe be like out of 30 bands, it'd be maybe Marmosets and me. Mm-hmm. And now it's like me and 20 other girls, and I'm here for it 100%. It's nice to see how times have changed. I used to get almost asked to leave stage by people not realizing I was a singer. So it feels, there's definitely a shift in the vibe, and it's almost like people are crying out for girls now, whereas when I was trying to make it 10 years ago, I really felt the slog.
And that's the thing as well. I think it's the way in which you carry yourself as a musician and as a person. And the strongest person that springs to mind at the top of my head is Jamila from Ithaca. It's kind of like, if you don't want me here, you'll have to fucking move me. Literally, it just stands her ground and go, this is who I, you know, and it's fantastic. I wanted to touch on your inspiration for creating and writing, because and how do you stop yourself from getting burnt out? Because I know that for me personally, when I'm creating podcasts, when I'm doing things, I can get like bogged down in what I call it, the little details, the social media stuff, the back and forth and the chasing and everything else. And kind of you go, why am I doing this? And then you'll get loads of love for a podcast or something will go really well. And you go, this is why I do it. This is why I do it. So how do you stop yourself from getting burnt out? And where do you draw your inspiration from?
Well, I think I was really lucky with the EP because, like I say, Alid kind of had these tracks like loaded, ready to go. And he was just like, have you got any ideas? And I'll be brutally honest with you. We've got best part of two and a half songs done in one day together, me and Alid. So like I've had years and years of writing material and time where I've had time to write. So when I got put in I was in this room, Alid came to my house. We decided I was in the band after this audition piece, which I'd love to speak briefly on at one point, just because it's just so extra what I did. But basically, I was really blessed with the EP because Alid already had the songs. We sat here, literally there's a mic here, and I just blasted out my ideas. And he was just like, this is incredible. Like Taunt Me was done in like an hour. They just came to me. But what I'm feeling now is because I've had such great success off this EP, the three tracks felt really natural. The response has been crazy. It was a bit like when I was in a band called Aurora. We had great success. We got signed off our first gig. It went crazy. And then all of a sudden I got put in the studio by In at the Deep End Records, same as like Architect, Silosis. And all of a sudden this girl who'd just been writing about Chin Up Princess and like pop metal, all of a sudden I wrote a song called Pressure based on how I felt. So I have a full-time corporate job. All of us have jobs full-time. I work in the professional services, like full-time corporate job. So now I'm really finding like I am feeling like the overwhelmness of having to deliver better, or if not better, like the same standard as I did so comfortably for the EP. So what I've been trying to do is, I know it sounds easier said than done, but I'm really lucky to have a supported husband. The boys are obviously great support for myself. But really it is about making sure if I feel like overwhelmed or this is all a bit too much, like sometimes I'll log off work and be like, I can't do any more. And I just listen to myself. Like if I feel like I'm starting to feel like burnt out or like it's just too much, then I'll just say it. I'm not really shy of sort of health before anything else for me. And I think mental health is so important. So if the song has to wait a few days, the song has to wait a few days. But I am definitely feeling weird sense of like, I guess, pressure on myself that I'm putting on now to ensure that when we do provide more material, it sort of slaps like the other tunes I feel have publicly. So once you get put in that spotlight, I definitely feel more scared to do any more songs than I had done on the first drop.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. And the one thing that I would say to that is really important, like you say, to be in tune with yourself and knowing where you're at. And just also, it sounds really silly, but just taking a breath. And I say go out and touch some grass. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. Just touch, get out among nature, get away from the computer, whatever you're trying to do, because sometimes you can just get a bit like, oh my God, it's too overwhelming. But one thing I did want to touch on, because you mentioned it, the audition process, because you've teased it now. So,
oh, I mean, it probably isn't that great, but to me, it's just funny how. So basically, I'll make it, as you've probably noticed, I like to chat, but I'll make it as quick as I can. This time last year, I auditioned for quite a heavy band. I was approached to audition for like this heavy, heavy band. And I thought, God, I've been out of it 10 years, but they've approached me. I like the sound. I'll go for it. Cut a very long story short, I didn't get that opportunity and it absolutely destroyed me. I thought, God, I've put myself out there. I wasn't even looking for this. Like I've put myself out there. I was like, it's because I'm a girl, I'm married, I'm too old. I was just putting myself, I got really like quite upset about the situation, and it really upset me because I thought, God, I like, when I kept hearing the vocals back, I was like, this is brutal, man. Why didn't they want me? But yeah, it just got to me. So I did this huge throwback on my Facebook and was like, it's a good day to look back on good days. And I posted out all my live shots I ever did. And it was almost like my closure to music, like my goodbye. I like knew it was done for me. And then like 2 days later, I got a message on Facebook from Alid being like, hey, I hope you don't mind the message. I'm looking for a vocalist who can sing and scream. Your name has been brought up. Here's my music. I don't know if you've heard of us. Would you be interested? And I wasn't like a hardcore fan, I'm going to be honest, but I had heard of White Lies. That was a really, that song, when I heard it, I said, I know that song. Yeah. Anyway, I showed my husband and he literally was like, Jesse, I'm sorry, but I think there's a reason why you didn't get that death metal gig. That I think this could not be more, this is like Aurora on crack, like you have to go for it. So based on his support and being like, you know, go for it, I did. So I think what Alid wanted, and he has confirmed this on previous podcasts, is that all he wanted was me to sit in this room and just sing the songs. But because I wanted it so badly, I did like a 5-hour drive to Folkestone and recorded, I actually paid and recorded the 3 tracks with Oz from Hidden Track Studio, because we knew each other from his Feed the Rhino days and my Aurora days. He like made some time in his diary, and he's a busy man, so I'm really grateful, but he was like, yeah, I'll help you with this. Weirdly, I'd seen him the year, like a few months before, and I was saying I want to do music again. So it just all felt very weird. He got me in. So I did the 3 tracks, like proper mixed, mastered, professional tracks, did them. And then I went to the Asylum venue in Birmingham, got my friend Josh to film me. And I basically did like I did all the 3 tracks as though I was playing them live, and got my friends to film me. Cut a long story short, I sent them all to Alid, and he literally was like, what the fuck? Like, he was like, I was expecting you to do like a bedroom cover. You've done like best part of a 12-hour round trip. Gone to a venue and actually like perform them. And then he didn't actually tell me if I got the gig for a few days, and we had a video chat, and I remember saying like, so have I got the gig? And he was like, yeah, of course you have. I was like, sorry, it just wasn't clear. And I think to them all, it just showed like how willing and sort of how committed I would be to that kind of thing. And it was safe to say after all of that, I got it. But it does make me chuckle, because I spent so much time and money on that situation. I don't think I needed to. I think I could have just done it in here. But I like to go like, you know, I'd rather give it 180% than not.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing as well. I can liken to that, because before the podcast, I done YouTube for like 5-6 years, going to festivals, vlogging experience, like album reviews, that kind of stuff. And it got like a very small following, but it was like, it was my little baby. Like, I put all my energy into it. And then after nothing short of basically a bit of a mental breakdown, I was just like, no, I'm deleting it. That's that, gone. And like 6.5 years of hard work just left.
Wow.
The pandemic kind of hit, happened, and my friend was like, oh, podcasting is blowing up. So what it mean, me and my friend from Wales, just we sat and had a natter, went a bit mental, the world opened up, and he was like, oh, I've got to go and do actual real life stuff. And I'm like, okay, oh cool, what do I do now? I mean I know a couple of different bands, and thankfully, and he's going to get a mention again, he always gets a fucking mention on his podcast, but the lovely Connor of Conjurer was like, yeah, I'll come on for a chat, and that just opened the door. And now we sit having this conversation, and I get to go to gigs and album launches and whatever else.
I saw you had like Pendulum recently, and like you say, you've had Hurriet and many other good bands on the show. So I honestly, it's an honor to be part of it.
Honestly, it is mental. But the one thing I will say to absolutely anyone until I'm blue in the face is just ask, because you don't know unless you ask. And that sounds like the most basic advice ever, but that's all I did, was just like, hey, you know so-and-so. And it's just, I'm a big believer in the 6 degrees of separation. So everyone knows somebody through 6 people. So eventually I'll get Ryan to everybody. So it's...
and if you need any contact help, you know, feel free to ask.
lovely stuff. And the thing was, I was always told in school that I talk too much. So podcasting, the natural cause, to be honest.
I'm sure the band would tell you, oh, Jess, you should start a podcast then.
I mean, the Dream State podcast. I mean, I'm not sure about the title, but you could definitely make it work for sure. Like, because there's got to be some stories there from tour and bits and bobs that we could go off on for ages, I'm sure. Yeah. And then that'd be stealing our Dream State content. So we don't want to be doing that. I'm going to start to wrap things up because I know you're a busy lady and I'm a busy man and whatnot. But I wanted to ask a couple of final questions. And the first of which is, when I'm rich and famous, right, and when I have all the money and all the fame and everything else, I'm going to create a dream festival. And on this dream festival, I'm going to invite every single band that's ever played on the podcast down to play the festival. It's going to be a very eclectic mix, so you'll have to bear with. Anyway, I've asked every band on 2023 to add something to the rider. Now, currently, we've got things like really sensible things, such as water, which didn't come up for like 3 weeks, which was quite, you know, worrying, like wine and beer and like, but then all the way to the extreme of like a hot tub. Literally, the guy I spoke to earlier said, I want a full-scale hot tub. I was like, I can do that. Petting zoo, anything you would like, everything's off limits. What would you have? What would you pick?
I'd like, as long as they don't hurt their ears, but I would like to have, you know, like when you go to like, I don't know what it's called, but you know, like when you go to those shows and there's like owls that you can put on your arm.
Yes.
So like there'd be a section far away from the stages where people could go and have like...
like a birds of prey type thing.
Yeah. And it'd be like, yeah, like it's where we could all go and like have owls sit on our arms and like, you know, just chill. I love owls, and I think that would be a great addition to a festival in a safe manner, like away from the music, in a little like section. And I think that would be quite wholesome, and I think you'd get queues for hours for people to go and do that.
And also, we'd need to keep them away from the black metal bands. It's all right. So someone else said they want a petting zoo, and I said the same thing, so don't worry.
I've not had
any bands on that I need to worry about that, but I know the bands are that we may need to worry about in the future.
I think that's my answer. I think some kind of owl sanctuary in a safe environment for them.
Lovely stuff. I love that. Yeah. And my final couple of questions is, firstly, what is ahead for Dream State? What can you talk about? What is people going to get excited about for the future? I know you've got, is it Loom Festival in London you guys are playing at?
We're headlining Loom Fest. I get super grateful to, I know that Dream State previously sold out the Camden Underworld many years ago, so let's hope we can do that again. I can't wait to have like Dream State on that plaque above the Underworld. That's going to be an iconic moment for me personally. I know Alid's had that before, but I can't wait. Loom Fest. So we're on tour. We go on tour in literally 10 days. We go out with Caskets. That has blown my mind. We come back off our tour, and then I got a message like 2 days later asking, or the day after, asking if we'd like to join. So crazy. So yeah, we go out on tour again in 10 days. Loom Fest is going to be the next festival. We are back to back on festivals this year. We're on Teddy Rocks and 2000 Trees. My mind goes blank when I'm asked, but we're on lots of festivals.
And there's lots of social media posts about it, so people can go and search it out. It's not that difficult. It's all good.
from this tour as well, we also got put on a couple more festivals, so there'll be some drops coming in the next few days, few weeks. That tour we've just done was amazing. We got another tour off it and multiple festivals, and I think I say it quite a lot publicly, but we're a completely DIY band with no manager, no booking agent, no label. So to be in a position that we're in, where we're selling out merch on tour and we have to restock, playing festivals on main stages as a main support, honestly, like, what a dream. I just can't wait to see what we do as and when a team starts to build up around us, really.
Absolutely. And you know what, I cannot wait for that, because as I say, there is not many bands that deserve the luck and the fortune that you guys deserve, because yeah, you're fucking smashing it basically.
Thank you, I appreciate that. I mean, we've all really grafted this last year together, and you know, it's always, I think it's always gonna be really difficult for anybody who's replacing anybody, be it a bassist or a drummer like Tom and Jake, and they're new as well, so all three of us are new additions. And yeah, I guess for a band who's had nearly a 90% lineup change, we just feel really, really lucky that we're getting the positive response that we are. And we just got to stay humble and keep working hard. There will be new music. There's lots I can't speak about, but that's just all really exciting things. I think it's going to be a really exciting year for us, but I think 2024 is possibly going to be where you see, I like to manifest it, so I say it out loud, but I think 2024 is the year that we'll see Dream State. You know, before COVID, they were on tour with I Prevail, The Amity, you know, that those sort of people. If we can just get the right team behind us, I don't see why we can't sort of get back or work back towards that type of level again in the coming years.
Absolutely. And I don't think you've got that far to go, because I don't really like to talk about COVID because it's such a depressing topic, but it kind of took the legs off everybody. Like, no one was allowed to really do anything and everything else, and it kind of stalled a lot of bands. But obviously having a 90% lineup change is a huge thing as well, and Alid rightfully so could have gone, well, fuck this then, all right, I haven't got a band anymore, bollocks to it, do you know what I mean? But he didn't, and that's credit to him as well for going, right, let's pick up everything we've got and rebuild it, you know.
Well, 10 years of his life have been spent dedicated. He's always been predominantly the sole writer for Dream State in terms of music, and when he explained to me why he didn't get rid of the band or change the name, like we've been outed about numerous times, and do you know what, I understand it. Like, why should he, if he is Dream State? Like, obviously CJ was Dream State, but actually if you didn't have Alid, it wouldn't be the Dream State that you guys all love and know in terms of like that hooky feel. So I completely understand why he kept the name and the platform, and I think he should, whether it had been me or anybody else, I would have agreed with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesse, it's been an absolute pleasure to sit down with you. I've really, really enjoyed this chat. I have one final question I've asked every band who's been gracious enough to give me their time on this podcast, and that is simply, what is the best thing about being a musician / being in a band, in your own words?
There is no high like being a front woman for me. When I'm up on a stage, like, it's electric every night. There's no like feeling like it in the real world, and I think this tour just gone has solidified to me like why I'm back up there. Like, it's just, it's like a drug. Like, you're up there and it's I think I answered it in my first line. There's just no better feeling than the buzz you get as performing and connecting with people. And I could go on and on, but like, yeah, to have people crying or hugging and thanking after you've played is just it's a privilege, and I feel really lucky truly to have this platform.
I love that. And you know, as I said at the sort of start of the chat, obviously I had a YouTube before that, and people go, I go to downloads to Bloodstock, to Reading, Leeds, whatever, and people go out to me and go, I like your videos, or I like your podcast, and I'm like, that is the reason why you do it, because people give a shit, you know. It's all numbers on a screen until you see someone in front of you and go, ah, you're one of the numbers, do you know what I mean? Like, so it makes perfect sense. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure. My name has been Matt. You've been you. This is Jesse of Dream State on the Nevermind Poly podcast. We will see you very, very soon, I'm sure. Peace out, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.